Well, we'll look to the Lord for help tonight in the preaching and in the hearing of the Word of God. Father, we thank Thee for the simplicity of the Gospel. It's look and live. For there's life for a look at the crucified one. But Lord, we need Thy help tonight. Lord, we're reminded in the prayer meeting. We were reminded this afternoon, Lord, that without Thee, we can do nothing and are nothing. But Lord, we can say with Paul, through Christ, we can do all things which strengtheneth us. And I pray, Lord, tonight that You'll indeed make me a channel of blessing. May we be the Lord's messenger and the Lord's message. Speak to every heart, Lord. Give clarity of thought and understanding. We realize, Lord, the devil will be here tonight to snatch away the good seed of the Word of God, to distract the minds of men and women to other things. But, Lord, we pray that You'll bind the strong man and set his captives gloriously free. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And grant us, Lord, the help of Thy Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, You illuminate the page and bless our hearts. And grant, Lord, among the angels in heaven, there will be cause for rejoicing over one sinner that repenteth. Close us in with Thyself and bless us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. My text tonight is found in verse 22 of Isaiah 45. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Obviously, the theme of the text is salvation. Look unto me, and be ye saved. And that's the greatest need of every man and woman in the meeting tonight. It's the greatest need of the nations of the world, is salvation. The nations of the world, and even as we were preaching this morning, we recounted how they were looking to their gods, and Sennacherib was doing down the God of heaven, and he was eulogizing his own God, and yet his own God let him down, even in his own God's house when he was slain. Gods of this world can do nothing for the souls of men and women. In the next chapter, Isaiah 46, we read in the opening verse, Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beast and upon the cattle. Your carriages were a heavy laden. They're a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. Bel and Nebo were the gods of the Assyrians. But how ineffectual they were. Oh, they had eyes, but they couldn't see. Ears, but they couldn't hear. Tongues, but they couldn't speak. Arms, but they couldn't carry. And they themselves hired to be carried about in carts. And instead of carrying the burden of the people, they were a burden unto the beasts. But thank God, our God is the true God. And it's He that says unto each one of us tonight, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God. And there is none else. Many have looked to their philosophies, but they look in vain. Many look to false religions, to politics, alliances, organizations, but all are vain to save the soul. There's only one that can save, and salvation is an absolute imperative tonight. And the Lord says, look unto me. And we would like to draw your attention to this text tonight and encourage you and exhort you to look to the Lord for salvation. Salvation, Jonah said, is of the Lord. And Jonah had it absolutely right. Now, we want to look at this text tonight concerning salvation. First of all, we want to consider what it means to look with regard to God. Look unto me. Look unto me. First of all, we must admit His reality. And amazing as it seems, there are still those today who deny that there's a God. They deny that there's a God who created the heavens and the earth. They would have you and I believe tonight that this world came into existence by a great bang. Well, we in this part of the world know what comes out of bangs. It's only destruction and death. We must admit his reality. Remember the Lord said in Hebrews 11 and 6, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, we're to call no man a fool, but the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It's the fool that says in his heart, there's no God. But if you would be saved tonight, you must recognize that God is, that the Almighty God sits upon the circle of the world, and to him the inhabitants are but grasshoppers in his sight. It is God that created the heavens and the earth. Notice verse 12, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. Verse 18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. We must first of all acknowledge that God is. And if we're to be saved, we have to acknowledge that from him alone can salvation come. Him alone. You see, ultimately, you and I have sinned, and we've sinned against God. Remember the psalmist in that great penitential psalm, in Psalm 51. And he was confessing his sin and crying unto God for restoration. And he said in verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And it is sin that separates us from God. And David had sinned. Oh, he didn't lose his salvation, but he lost the joy of the Lord. And he cried unto the Lord to restore that, because he was a sinner. Because he was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And that's why we must acknowledge that the Lord is the only one that can save us. For neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Can't look to the church for salvation. We thank God for our denomination. We thank God for our faithful preachers, Sunday school teachers, children's workers, those that do personal evangelism. We thank God for them, but they can't save. And you can't save yourself. Because the Bible reminds us that sinners are dead in trespasses and sin. And dead men can do nothing for themselves. You must anticipate that he will save you, that he will intervene in your behalf. Because if God doesn't, no one else can. If God doesn't save, then we're of all men most miserable. But God does save. And he says in our text, look unto me. Look unto the God of heaven. Look unto the one who has made us and created us. There is none else, but he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not a reward in the sense that we merit salvation or we can attain to it, but we can receive it as the free gift of God. We must acknowledge him. We must acknowledge that from him alone is salvation. We must anticipate that he will save us if we seek him and call upon him. And then we're to trust in him alone for salvation. Trust in him alone. Some might trust in good works or opinions if they may. Hallelujah, I'm depending on the blood. Sad tonight that many are looking to a church. Many are looking to their baptism. Many are looking to their confirmation and other things, and salvation is only of the Lord. And if salvation could be attained, if salvation it could be merited, then why did the Lord go to the cross of Calvary and there yield up his life? So we must acknowledge him, and God is, and is the reward of them that diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. Really seeking the Lord as if all depended on it, for it does all depend on it. Not just a curiosity, but really diligently seeking the Lord. The Lord will be found of them that seek him with all of their heart. And if you're not saved tonight, you really need to seek the Lord with all of your heart, with all your being. And you will settle for nothing else in seeking the Lord but your soul's salvation. It must be the one thing needful. I'm sure I could ask many up here tonight in the congregation, and they could testify that the day, the night they were saved, that they had to have it. It was the burden of their heart, and they couldn't rest until the Lord saved them. I remember my own conversion, and I remember being convicted for some time, and I had no rest nor peace. And someone invited me to a cottage meeting, and I had to get there. There was other things that were coming up on the same evening, things that normally I would have attended and be glad to have done so, but I had this conviction in my heart that I had to go to that meeting. And thank God the Lord saved me that night. And we rejoice that the Lord keeps his word. Him that cometh unto me I will no wise cast out. What is our encouragement to look? Look unto me and be ye saved. Well, what should encourage us tonight? Well, first of all, his commandment. He commands us to look to him. He bids us to look, and therefore we may look. It's not the Lord's will that we should perish. The Lord desireth not the death of the sinner, but rather he had turned from his wicked way and live. And he said, look unto me. And so we're commanded. Salvation is not an option. It's not optional. We must be saved ere we leave this scene of time, because there's no second chance in eternity. With his commandment, we have his promise. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. That's his promise. John 6:37, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. It's the same as looking, as coming to Christ. It's the same as receiving. It's the same as believing. Matthew 11:28, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's the promise of the Savior. We're to come to him. We're to look to him alone for salvation. And he promised that he'll give us a heart rest. And then the great text, of course, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And how much did he love us? He gave his only begotten Son to the cross of Calvary, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the great last invitation in the Bible, and it's in Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever, let him take the water of life freely. There's the promise and the invitation to come to Christ for salvation. We're to come to God, for all things are possible to him. Remember the disciples asked him, Lord, who can be saved? When he said, it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Who then, Lord, shall be saved? And Jesus said, with man this is impossible, but all things are possible with God. And I love that tonight. All things are possible with God. The Lord's able to save tonight, no matter who you are, no matter what sin you've committed. God is able to save, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse from all sin. That's why Paul said in Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able to also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. He is able to save to the uttermost all kinds of sinners, no matter where they're from, no matter their background, no matter their sin, he can save to the very uttermost. And then his character should encourage us to come. In verse 21 we read, tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time, and who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Saviour? There is none beside. In verse 19 he said, the Lord speaketh righteousness and declare things that are right. His character, God is just. And you know, that should make sinners tremble tonight. For the soul that sinneth, it shall die. God must punish sin. And there's nothing you and I can do in and of ourselves, or anyone else apart from Christ can do for us, that will satisfy the justice of God. He's just, and he must punish sin. But he's also a Savior. He's also the Savior. He's a righteous God. He's a Savior. How can he be just and yet the Savior of the sinner? And the only way that he could do that was for himself to come down into this world, take upon him the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin die on the cross of Calvary, to live a life we couldn't live, to die a death we couldn't die, on another's life and another's death. We stake her all for eternity. Jesus Christ, God's Son, bore our sins, was our substitute on the cross, and he satisfied the wrath of God. He satisfied the justice of God. He paid the penalty that was our due, paid the debt that we owe, and was able to cry, it is finished. And God accepted that sacrifice, because the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures. And because he lives, all who are in Christ shall live also. He's a just God and a Savior. And then the testimony of others should encourage us. We've just been told today, and I think I read it in the Truth for Youth, how you're producing a book on the life of Mr. Billy Alexander, and what a life he lived prior to salvation. And the Lord saved him, made him a new creature in Christ Jesus. And what he did for Billy, he can do for you. You see, that's something that people can't gainsay or deny. When they see a man or a woman who has lived a life of sin, and then suddenly there's a transformation, it's not reformation of character. It is salvation that makes the difference. And in Billy Alexander's life, there was a great change that only that God could make. Loved the things that he once hated. Hated the things that he once loved. We can think of others in Scripture. Demonic of Gadara. Men couldn't tame him. Tried to bind him with chains, and he just snapped them like thread. And then Jesus came. And the next thing we find him sitting and clothed and in his right mind at the feet of Jesus, and a desire to serve the Lord. Who could do that? Only the mighty God. Only our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. We think of the woman at the well. And she came at the hottest part of the day because of her infamy. And the Lord sussed out from her. He knew it already. But he got it from her own lips that she had five husbands, and the one she was living wasn't her husband. And she drank of that living water, and she went into Samaria and told the people, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Messiah? What a wonderful change. A woman caught in adultery. What a wonderful change. And many can say here tonight, in the words of the hymn writer, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And then you'll notice the scope of his invitation. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. That's some invitation. All the ends of the earth. Now, all the ends of the earth, every man and woman and child on the earth will not be saved. But I tell you, from every nation and tribe and tongue, they will come. If you turn over to the book of the Revelation in chapter 7 and verse 9, wonderful chapter. Revelation 7 and verse 9, and here John is a revelation of those that are in heaven. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and upon the Lamb. And verse 14 says, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They say it from all nations, from all kindreds, from all tongues. And missionaries will tell you, they can get into a certain region of the world. There's not just the one language. There's many dialects, there's tongues. And the Bible says, look unto me. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and I am God, and there is none else. What a scope in this so great salvation. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world of lost sinners. All kinds of sinners. And each seeking sinner may be sure that he's included. Those that seek me shall find me. And you know, it's only those that are ill that will contact the doctor. A man may have an illness and not know it. It might be a grave illness, but if he doesn't know it, he'll do nothing about it. But once a man knows he has something wrong with him, there's something not right, he will make an appointment to see the doctor. And it's when people are convicted of their sin, when the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is working in their hearts, they'll start to seek the Lord. That's the Lord's work. There's no man or woman ever sought the Lord off their own bat. It took the Spirit of the Lord, for salvation is of the Lord from start to finish. And the Lord's promised, those that seek me shall find me. Notice what he says in verse 19. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness, declare things that are right. I haven't told you to seek me in vain. The Lord doesn't mock us. The Lord doesn't put conviction in our heart and that desire to seek him to mock us. So that when we come, that he turns us away. But him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And then his word will encourage us. Verse 23 said, for I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. The word of God encourages. And this book of Isaiah, Isaiah known as the evangelistic prophet, and it's full of gospel invitation, full of the promises of God. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The Lord desire, and how he stood over the city of Jerusalem, and he cried, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that stonest the prophets, how oft would I have gathered thy children under my wing like a hen, or gathered thy children as a hen would gather her children under her wing, but ye would not. But those that come to him, he'll receive, for Christ receiveth sinful men. When are we to look? Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. The time is now, this very moment. The command is in the present tense. Look unto me. Now. He doesn't say, come tomorrow, wait till next Sunday. But he says, now, look unto me, now. And the promise is in the same tense, and be ye saved. And that's a marvelous thing, isn't it? Look unto me, and be ye saved. Almost in the one breath. And the moment we look to Christ, the moment we trust in Christ as our Savior, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. We don't look to Christ and then wait for 2 weeks down the line to see whether he's going to save us or not. No, there's his promise. Look unto me now and be ye saved now. Takes immediate effect. And that's why it's amazing, isn't it, to see someone when saved and perhaps someone that has deep died in sin and all of a sudden there's a great transformation. That's the Lord, that's salvation. Of course, you don't have to be a deep dyed sinner. We're all sinners. And we've all come short of the glory of God. Some of us might be walking on the clean side of the broad road, and some might be walking on the dirty side, but we're all on the broad road that leads to destruction because we're all sinners. Someone once said that there are those who would need a week to tell you what you are to do to be saved, but the Holy Ghost uses four letters. And two of them are alike. Look. What does that word look mean? It means to get your eyes on the Lord. It means you're looking to Him alone for salvation. You're not looking to the church. You're not looking to your good works. You're looking to Christ alone. Remember in Numbers chapter 21, when the Israelites had sinned, and the Lord sent the fiery serpents among them, and those that were bitten died. And there's the cry unto Moses to pray for them. And Moses besought the Lord. And the Lord instructed him to take a pole and put on the top of that pole a brazen serpent. And all that would look would live. And those that were bitten, what else could they do? They had an ability to do anything. Only look. That was the simplicity of the thing. Look. Just look at the brazen serpent. And those that looked lived. That's the simplicity of the gospel. Look unto me. Trust in me. Come unto me. Receive me. That's what Jesus is saying. Look. That's simple. Little child in the meeting tonight can look to Christ. Wonderful salvation. Many stumble over the simplicity of it. If you were to turn around and say to people today, well, if you go on a voyage around the world 10 times and you swim the channel and you do all these things, they might begin to believe you. But somehow or other, just to look, just to take Christ at his word, just to trust him, that seems too good to be true. But it's not. It is true. God is the God of righteousness. And he says, look, your need of salvation is great. It's urgent. Why is it urgent? Because you're lost. Because you're condemned already. And those that are not saved will stand before the great white throne of judgment of God. Not to be judged in the sense that the books will be open to see if they've done enough good work. It's just to pronounce the judgment. They're condemned already. Because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Condemned already. It's urgent. Look unto me now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Present moment. This moment is the only moment that you are guaranteed. You're not guaranteed another hour from now, the next day or next week. But now, while we're here, let us call upon the name of the Lord, because our time is short on earth. The breath of our body will cease. Life at best is very brief. It's very brief. You know, I remember older people saying to me when I was about 15, 16, you know, your life is very short. And I would look at them and they were 70 or 80 and I'd say, well, you know, that's a long time. Well, I'm not 70 yet, but I'll be 66 in July. And I tell you, life is, just goes light in like that. It's very brief. It's very brief. And apart from that, illness comes. We might be knocked down in an accident. We don't know what will happen. Nobody can stand up tonight and say, preacher, I guarantee that I will be here next Lord's Day to hear the Reverend Dane preaching the word. You can't say that. You can't tell me that about tomorrow, that you'll be at your work. You can't say that. We know not for the day may bring forth. It is the time that God has chosen. It is ours to accept. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's the only time God gives us now. Now. What a wonderful soul-saving text this is. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there's none else. Must look to the Lord. Must look to Him alone and come just as you are, as a sinner to Christ. Just as you are. The woman at the well came just as she were, she was. The woman taking the act of adultery came just as she was. And that's all you and I have to do, is to come as we are, as a sinner. That's the only qualification, is that we're a sinner, that we're lost, that we own it up, and to acknowledge that God alone can save us, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior from all sin, and that we must come now and we must trust in Him. Will you come tonight? Will you come now and prove the truth of God's word? Look unto me and be ye saved. Will you take God at His word tonight? Will you just trust Him? Will you just call upon Him now? And you can do it in the closing minute of this meeting. You don't need a preacher. You just need the Lord. You just need the Lord. I remember some years ago in Mount Marion, a gentleman came to our church. He didn't have great health. And he was in and out of hospital. And he got saved in the hospital. Some Christian witnessed to him and he got saved. He went to another church for a while, but he wasn't happy there, and he came to us. And he started to come a Sunday or two, and then the next thing, his wife came out with him. And I didn't know where she stood. And she came out for a few weeks with him, and I said to the Lord, if she's out tonight, I'll go around and see that lady. And sure enough, she was out that night. And as I was shaking hands with him out the door, and she said to me, Mr. Hart, do you not know me? And I honestly didn't recognize her at that time. But I had visited a lady, an elderly lady, some years previous to that. She was housebound. And this lady was out with her husband at the meeting, was her home help. And this is just a wee encouragement for yourself. That wee woman that I visit was a saved woman. And this lady that came to meet her husband was called Sheila. Sheila didn't go anywhere. And wee Mrs. Saunders said to her, Sheila, if you ever start going to church, will you give the wee phrase a turn? And Sheila sort of just laughed and said, aye, maybe I will. And that was years previously. That night she came out and said, do you not know me? And then she made herself known. And I said to her, I see you out at the meetings. Would you like me to call some night? And we made an arrangement for the Monday night. And I went round and was talking to Albert, her husband, and we're talking about salvation. And we just brought it round. I said, Sheila, what about yourself? Oh, she says, I'm saved. And that sort of threw me a wee bit. I says, when did you get saved? She says, last night in the closing prayer. And she said, it was said that you can just come as you are. And you didn't need any preacher. But open your heart to the Lord and ask Him in to save you. And she said, I did that. And she said, I meant to say to you in the way out, but there was other people waiting to talk to you, and I knew you were coming around tonight. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Just in the closing prayer, she opened her heart to the Lord. And that wee woman years ago had given her the invitation. And when Sheila came to the Lord, Mrs. Saunders was in glory. But it's just an encouragement. We don't know what's going on. It reminds me of the story that two Christians were talking together, and one was moaning the fact that God was doing nothing. Nothing was happening. And the other brother says, listen, the Lord's not going to tell you everything he's doing. You don't know whether he's doing nothing at all. He's not going to tell you everything. And I don't believe that the Lord's doing nothing. I believe the Lord is working in hearts. I believe the Lord is going to work in our land. And I tell you, he's working in your heart tonight. And you need to just come, just as you are. O Lamb of God, I come. May you come tonight. Look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth, no matter who you are, what you are. For I am God, and there's none else. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. We're going